All right, appreciate that song, Alex. If you got your Bible, get to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. I think I'm a little biased, but I enjoyed being out here for the Master Club Awards. And I'm glad to see that the children in our church, even as young as 4 years old, and even some in the nursery, they get Bible teaching and memorize the Bible. And it's really, really important, not just for the children to do that, but for us to do that as well. By the way, it's important for you as a parent to do that with your children in addition to what they get here at the church. If the only Bible education they get at church, if they only get education from the Bible at church, I would say they're going to be coming up short. I don't want my children to know more about math and science and history than they do about the Bible. Obviously, those things are important too, and they should be learning those things. We go out of our way to make sure our kids go to school. We should be going out of our way to make sure our kids are learning the Word of God too. And so I'm so thankful for our church making that a priority. We're going to be in Psalm 11 tonight, and the Bible doesn't explicitly say the exact situation that was happening at the time of the writing of this psalm, but a lot of people believe that this psalm was written during the time that David was fleeing from Saul. And no matter when the psalm was written, it has a lot that can help us in our life today. And that's something that's really great about the psalms. I know that all of us have everyday problems, and I hope that you consult the book of Psalms on a regular basis, because that is the remedy for our everyday problems. Because you see, people like David, people like Asaph, having the same problems that we experience today. That's encouraging to me. It shouldn't be really encouraging that people have problems, right? I'm really glad he had some struggles too, right? You know, we shouldn't be happy that other people struggle, but it is relieving to know that we're not the only ones that experience difficulty living our faith like we should. And even somebody like David struggled with that, the man after God's own heart. Certainly if he would struggle, you and I would struggle too. But what we can learn from the Psalms is we can learn how we can go through those times of trouble, through those valleys in life, and come out the other side closer to the Lord. And I think that's what all of us want, right? We are here to get closer to the Lord. And the very beginning of the psalm, David essentially echoes what all of our goal is just by being here at church tonight. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Right? I think all of us want to have God as the person we put our trust in. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But let's go ahead and read the rest of the psalm, and we don't have that much time, so we're going to keep moving, but we're also going to take our time and make sure that we get a good understanding of what's going on here. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." So we see here, it's a psalm of David. Obviously, we see that from the title, but we're going to talk tonight about standing in faith. And from the very beginning of this psalm, right, David has the desire to put his trust in the Lord. And as soon as David makes that statement, there are people telling him to run away from the situation that he finds himself in. And don't be surprised when you decide to take a step in faith that there is not immediate opposition and discouragement that comes as a result of that decision in faith. We see that exact situation here with David, and though it is not encouraging to see someone else struggle, we can see someone who had a similar struggle to us and how he handled that particular struggle. So David, as soon as he made this desire to stand in his faith, he faced enemy attacks. And so you and I are going to face attacks from the enemy. We're going to encounter friends who might discourage us along the way. That's what he says, "How say ye to my soul?" So someone is speaking to him, telling him to flee to his mountain like a bird, right? When you think of a bird, you don't think of a strong animal, right? I was thinking about this earlier, right? When Absalom was chasing David and they were contemplating going after David in the wilderness at his weakest moment, he was described as an old lion, right? Fleeing like a little bird is running away in fear of the situation. And we know from the context of this psalm that David was not supposed to run away from this particular problem. And I just want to remind you that every situation that you face in life, every struggle that you face spiritually, every struggle that you face emotionally is not one to run away from. Running away is not the answer to all of our problems. That might be what our flesh tells us to do. In this particular case, it was what people who would have been close to David told him to do, right? If an enemy is pursuing you, it's not the enemy that's telling you to flee. The enemy wants you to stay and fight and hopefully lose. People who are close to David were encouraging him to run away, right? If that's not bad advice, I don't know what is bad advice. By the way, just like Pastor spoke about Sunday night, we should not be a discouragement to other people. This is another reminder of that exact principle, that the words that you say, the things that you tell one another to do, that can either discourage or encourage someone to continue to stand in their faith. But David faced attacks from his enemy. You will face attacks from the enemy if you choose to step out in faith. It is never something that is going to happen when you deem it to be a convenient season. Like, all right, devil, I'm set up here. I'm strengthened. My heart is ready. Now you can have at me. That's not how it works. Friends are not going to bring discouragement when you are on the mountaintop either. Because on the mountaintop, you probably aren't really able to be discouraged in the same way that someone who is already struggling is able to be discouraged. And so David is fleeing from an enemy. The wicked are bending their bow against him. They want to privily attack him. They want to secretly attack him. And he's being discouraged by his skeptical friends. He's being stalked by the enemy. We must stand in our faith. It is a dangerous business to do so. Right? It's never going to be convenient and easy to stand in your faith. The wicked opposed David in his day, and Satan and all of his forces will do the exact same to us if we choose to attempt to put our trust in the Lord in our life. Right? I think everybody here, you have the desire in your heart to trust the Lord in whatever situation you face in life. But what we find is that when we look around us and things are crumbling around us, we struggle to trust the Lord like we should. It is never going to be easy to stand in our faith. If we're going to stand in our faith, we're not going to run away when we face enemy attacks. Our foundation must be secure. That's where we come to verse number 3. Very, very profound statement that we see in the Bible. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And as I was reading and as I was studying this passage, I had always assumed that this was the beginning of David's statement. And I looked at a couple different commentaries and ended up asking a few people, and it was almost 50-50. Some people believed that this was the friends still speaking to David, and others thought that this was the beginning of David's response. Because it really isn't that clear from the Bible whether David is talking or whether the friends are talking. It doesn't say, and David said, right? There, at some point in the conversation, a transition is made where David is affirming his trust in the Lord, but verse 3, it's kind of unclear. I will say this, no matter who said it, it doesn't really change the meaning that we take away from it. Think with me for a second. If his friends are saying this to them, isn't it a discouraging statement? Right? Because if your foundation that you're building your life upon is your circumstances, it's your safety, is the love of those around you, right? That is a very unstable foundation, is it not? And if your foundation is destroyed, you are in big, big trouble. And that's where I think a lot of us find ourselves in that kind of position. And I'm not sure whether you're like this, but I tend to read the Bible through the lens of however I am, wherever my life is at that moment. And so if you're in a period of discouragement in your life, perhaps you read this and say, you know what, this is his friends talking to him. They're just further discouraging him and what he's doing. And if you're someone who's faced a lot of discouragement from people in your life, maybe that's how you look at this. On the other hand, if David is making this statement, he's already beginning the transition of saying, you know what, though my circumstances are not good, my foundation cannot be destroyed. It's more of a rhetorical statement, right? Because the foundation of the Lord cannot be destroyed in any of our lives. And so the righteous have nothing to worry about because our foundation is secure. And so if you are going to stand in your faith, you must be able to withstand your enemy's attacks. You also must have a foundation that is secure. The things that we go through in life are very heavily weighted by our perspective. I think the way that we read that verse is a decent example of that, right? The way that you look at the things that are happening to you in your life, is it makes a big difference in how you go through those things. And we see that at the beginning, David was discouraged, right? In verse number one, he said, "How say ye to my soul, flee to your mountain like a bird," right? The comments his friends made went all the way into his soul. It wasn't just some superficial comments made by somebody. This was something that deeply affected him. And he came to the conclusion that his foundation cannot be destroyed. And so he has nothing to fear. Foundation is what keeps the building standing during storms, earthquakes, and other disasters. If your life is built on a foundation that is crumbling, your foundation is not built on the right thing. I think this goes beyond our salvation, right? There's a foundation that we choose to invest our eternity, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no foundation that the man can lay besides Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to build on that foundation things that will result in heavenly rewards. But what we choose to invest ourselves in life is also a foundation. Your life's foundation can either be God or it can be something else. And just because you're here at church tonight doesn't mean that you have heavily invested in building upon the foundation of God in your life, right? We talk about this type of stuff all the time, right? When you don't read the Bible on a regular basis, when you don't pray, when you don't invest yourself in the church, you are not investing in that foundation that is eternal. Amen. When you have no closeness to God whatsoever in your life, how can you expect your foundation to hold? Because God is not your foundation. You're basing your foundation on circumstances. You're basing your foundation on relationships being good. You're basing your foundation on anything other than the foundation that will stand through any test. No matter who was speaking, whether it was David or whether it was his friends, our foundation must be in our relationship with God. Let me ask you this, right? The foundation is the most important thing. What is the most important thing to you? What do you invest yourself in more than anything else? If your relationship with God takes a back seat to anything and everything that comes up in your life, then you are not building on that right foundation. If you are struggling emotionally or spiritually on a regular basis, I want you to look and consider whether your foundation is your relationship with God or whether your foundation is something that is unstable. Anything other than a relationship with God is a substandard replacement. Our strength and our stability can only come from God. And as we continue through the rest of the psalm, David talks about how to practically exercise his faith. And that's what I'm going to spend the rest of our time on this evening. Practically exercising our faith, right? So we want our foundation to be our relationship with God. How can we actually make our foundation our relationship with God? I think the rest of the psalm teaches us that. Verse number 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. And just very simply, if you're going to exercise your faith, you need to simplify your situation. In times of uncertainty, we look at all of the things going on in our life, and though the problems might be complex, the solution is quite simple. This might sound like a cliche statement, but the Lord is in His holy temple, and His throne is in heaven. No matter what is happening in your life, the solution is quite simple. The one that has the ability to fix any problem you encounter is still seated on His throne in heaven, and He is well able to help you in your time of need. We struggle to get through difficult situations because the situation is so complicated, we don't know where to start. The starting point is trusting the Lord. The starting point is placing Him and allowing Him to be on the throne of your life. When things are tough, remind yourself, God is on His throne. Amen. And if you are trying to follow Him, we have a merciful and a long-suffering and a loving God. Though all of us could always do better in our pursuit of God, He loves us, and if we are making any kind of effort whatsoever, don't think that He is not going to help you. He knows that we are but flesh. He knows that we're sinful. He died for our sins, for crying out loud. Of course He wants to help us. And so from His throne, God is in control of everything. And so we must simplify our situation. We must then see the purpose in the difficult times. And my attention is really drawn to the end of verse 4. It says, His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not, you know, a really astute English student, right? That was probably my least favorite class in school. I did not like to read at a young age. I've only in the last, you know, 7 or 8 years begun to be more of a reader. I still want to do better with that. And so a lot of times as I read the Bible, if I don't stop and slow down, I don't really think about what's going on. And when I saw it says His eyelids try. Like, what does eyelids have to do with anything? And some of you will appreciate this. I've complained a lot about how my eyes are not as good as they used to be. And I've been trying to get used to wearing my reading glasses while I'm speaking, but it's too much of a distraction at this point still. And so I don't do it. So if I'm trying to read something, you know what I end up doing? I end up squinting a little bit. Right, when we're trying to look closely at something, we kind of narrow our eyes in on what's going on. And you know what this verse teaches us says, you know what? When you're going through all of these things, the Lord is closely watching. His throne is in heaven, His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. So though David was going through great difficulty in his life, he was struggling to stand in his faith, just as we struggle to stand in our faith. The Lord is on His throne, and the Lord is closely watching. He is heavily invested in what's going on in your life. The purpose of these difficult times is not to destroy you. It is to try us, to build us, to make us better people. If you're one of God's children, right? You look at what it says about the wicked, right? The Lord sends a snare to the wicked, sends fire and brimstone on them. Right? That's not good. There's a big difference in the Lord trying us and seeing if we are going to stand in our faith and watching us and ensuring that we're able to withstand what's going on in our life as opposed to the Lord sending a snare to us. You're going to exercise your faith. If Christ is going to be your foundation, that you're going to be able to stand in your faith, you are going to have to simplify your situation. You're going to have to see the purpose in difficult times. And then just lastly and very quickly, we must seek to grow in righteousness. The very last verse is, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. I don't know about you, One of the hardest things for me to do when I am having a hard time, when I'm in a period of uncertainty in my life, one of the hardest things for me to do is to continue to do the things that I know I should do. To continue to do right, even when things are not going the way that I hoped that they would go. To continue to obey God when we don't agree with how God is handling us in that moment. If we're only going to do right when God is operating in our life how we think He should operate, when things are going good, when there's nobody opposing us, when Satan is not attacking us, when everybody is on our side, you know what? You're never going to do right. We must, on purpose, continue to do right and even to seek to grow in our righteousness. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Amen. The end of that verse, it says, His countenance doth behold the upright. Remember how I said the Lord is closely watching your situation? He sees the struggle that you're going through. He sees all that you do, all that you must forsake in order to do what He would have you to do. His countenance doth behold the upright. You know what that means? When we're doing what God wants us to do, He's looking at us and He's proud. Amen. Right? I don't remember my son doing that little coloring thing, and though coloring is not really that important, he works hard on his little verses when we practice them at home. Amen. And it is a proud moment for me to see him get his little Bible, little things that I pretty much lose, and he only has about a third of them on his actual vest. But it's proud for me to look and see, hey, my son is he's done a good job. He's been successful at something. Amen. That's a proud moment. When we choose to obey God and choose to follow God in spite of all of the uncertainty we're facing, you know, He looks on us and He's proud. You know, that's a motivating thing for us, right? I used to like when my dad would come to my sporting events when I was growing up, other than when he would say I didn't do a good job, right? When a parent tells you they're proud of them, didn't that make you feel good? Wouldn't it be nice to know that God is proud of you? Yep. Right? Everything that happens in the Christian life is not a failure. Good. Right? Every person sins. God knows that. Every person, including David, struggled to fulfill the will of God in his life. Jesus himself asked the cup to pass from him. Yep. And so, in the end, Jesus obeyed, David obeyed, and we too can choose to obey God. And he's proud of us when we do that. So that's all I got for you. We're out of time. And hope that you will choose to exercise your faith in times of uncertainty and stand for the Lord.
Bow your heads and